as a police institution.
We started, you know, preparing relations for this long ago. Long, I would say about 1 year ago, we've been preparing for this event. Unfortunately for us, we have a lot of lessons to learn because this is one of the first of its kind. It's the seventh election that the Ghana Police Service is going to get involved in. And unfortunately for me, on my left side, colleagues who have been involved in all these elections. Until recently, I was myself in charge of operations for about 7 years, so I know how it's like, and also my colleagues also have the same feel. I think about a week ago, we had the opportunity also meeting His Excellency Thabo Mbeki of South Africa, who led the Commonwealth delegation secretariat to meet us. And the same lesson that we are going to have to review. We started our lessons last year first by trying to inquire about the locals of some groups that were emerging. We call them the vigilante. Vigilante groups, they were emerging with these political parties. And so that there could be a nuance or a nuisance during the elections. So we tried to inquire about their locals from the Attorney General's Department. And we're told in no clear terms that they were illegal and unlawful, legitimate groupings which could not operate as a quasi or para-police institution. So police have the mandate to protect life and property and the sole agency to do so. So we passed it on to the leadership of the various political parties, after which we met the youth who are mostly members of this group and had a very nice and long discourse with them. But we have a program we call the IGP's dialogue series, having dialogue with all the important stakeholders. So the first of this kind was the youth of all the political parties. We made that one sitting for about 3 or 4 hours. We're trying to chart a path that will bring more, you know, development, peace, and stability to the motherland. And it was quite fruitful. At the end of it all, we all decided to be on a common plane. What we feel, the youth should know, exude their youthful exuberance, and where the how the police also contain such youth during elections. But if you agree with me, policing elections is different from the routine everyday policing activity. The elections in this part of the world that most of us belong, you agree with me that it's a do and die. It's very critical and very crucial, and the police have seen to be very professional in the middle as much as we can, or as much as policeman likely possible, very, very professional. So we try to always bring in the stakeholders. So after meeting the youth, we went a step further to meet another important stakeholder, that's the executives of the political parties. We met them individually, separately as political parties, entities, and also told us from their experience, the actions or inactions of the police, which they felt was not the best, which could be improved upon. Also told them what they also have been doing, the provocations and the temptations, that the path that they want the police to tread, we can also bring a chaos, but for our restraint and professionalism. So both parties were able to come to a common plane. As I say, as of now, there's a great understanding between us and the political parties. Then we went a step further to meet the presidential candidates, the running mates, because their security is very critical. Because that's where the problem is, because they want to get their own men to provide security for them, which is a very big thorny issue. So we met them, and it was a very serious discussion. And finally, the police put in a suggestion that made some compromises, so that at least both sides could get the best for the political and presidential candidates and their running mates. What finally we agreed on was that in some instances, the presidential candidates agreed that the police can provide for them, they have no problem. In some instances too, we felt that from the discussions we had, we should give them the first chance, the first option, to select their own policemen who can provide the security for them. So we've done it before. So they were allowed and then they agreed. So we have to crisscross from personnel across the country, just to ensure that everybody was happy. So finally, we agreed on the personnel to be chosen and then the numbers. Each presidential candidate have 4, and the running mate too. Because I don't see if you have to provide security and you comfort. If you're going and looking behind, whether your security guard has a hidden camera or something, must be free to go about your chores. So the chores we were comfortable with, and we've trained them, and they are with them since the last 2-3 months. They have been with them. With that kind of, nobody has complained at all. None of them have complained. That means they are comfortable with them. Then we went to other stakeholders who also have great influence on society, like the media. But the media is becoming a fourth realm of government, and you are agreeing with me that they have a lot of influence on society in this part of the world. So we met the media, had a very nice discussion with them. We went to meet the traditional rulers. So though we have the European form of government and all this, and the traditional rulers also still have a role to play. And they are very powerful and influential in their communities. We met them, and they all came on board. They were very cooperative, a lot of cooperation from them. When we met them, and they are ready to assist all for the sake of the motherland. They went, we are very religious. So we went to meet all the religious sects. We met the Christian Council, that's mostly the Orthodox Church. We met the Catholic Bishop Secretariat. We met other denominations. We met the Muslims too, because also have a very, have to listen to say, because they have a youth which is very strong and past experience. We used to go there to try to, solicit them to come in and support them to cause some problems. So we use the Muslim hierarchy to also assess the youth, the Muslim youth, and that one also quite very, very successful. We went on also to meet our men, because as we talked to the stakeholders, that we met with them as the media commission, so that we can assess and control the media through that, so when we feel that they are doing something that can bring untoward occurrences in the system. Then we went all round, we met almost everybody. Then we went round also to meet our troops, because we know that in this enterprise of elections, policing numbers is very, very critical, especially in our instance when we have increased the numbers from 26,000 to 29,000, by almost 4,000 more police stations. So we need a lot of boots on the ground. So we went around to assess our police numbers in the various locations, to tally them with the police stations that are prevalent there, to see if they can tally or match up with them. Not only that, also to see their readiness in terms of equipment. Because as I said earlier, it's not only everyday policing where you go to chase armor, but with live bullets and robust policing. There's some soft part of policing, but with a little robustness, but some degree of policing. So we went around, assessed our ground control equipment, make sure that we're non-lethal, because we shall use non-lethal this equipment most of our policing duties in this regard. But of course, we have the hard part of policing, but that will be the last resort. We have what we call graduated use of force. So we look at it and then escalate it as and when it becomes necessary. So we saw our boys, and also we did a lot of training, police elections. We did a lot of training for our boys, and then the TOTs, and some of them had direct training. And we have a strategy we use. Since the police numbers are not sufficient, we also rope in our sister security organizations, like the Ghana Prison Service, Ghana Immigration Service, the Fire Service, and the Customs Division of the GRA, the Ghana Revenue Authority. They all come through that numbers. And that day, because we all go to the classroom together, we do the same training together, we give them the position of special constables on that day. So the man is a fireman, on that day is a special constable. And his behavior and demeanor should be like a police constable on that day, because of the mentality and perception of people have that. If you're going, they don't see a policeman, they see some other agency, it's human nature. They'll try to show that they can have a leeway or do something. So, want to be as robust and alert and resolute as a standard police officer. That one we've also done. We have what we call the National Security Election Task Force. Because we have different components, of course, we are all under the same Ministry of Interior, but different components, police, fire, prisons, we have a common umbrella. So, we have the same, information going on and the same interpretation to the information thereof. So we have what we call the National Security Election Task Force, which of course I'm the chairman, the national chairman, comprising all the security chiefs of the other agencies and members of subcommittees, various subcommittees, about 7 of them. So we are working to get our boys going. We have a joint election or a joint operation center for the elections, where we have all the agencies taking part represented at the DOC, just across at the other wing of the police headquarters, and where the agencies represented have the direct secured communication with their mother agencies. So the fire officer is saying it's a problem with the fire service, with the Motorola, go straight secured, listen, likewise the other. And the military is also, of course, represented at the JOC. We activated it yesterday, because tomorrow night is the election, so everything is in place. Then only today we did the deployment. We did the deployment 72 hours ahead of the re-elections, because some people have to go up country quite, and they have to go and last get accommodation. So as I talk to you now, most of the officers going to perform the duties outside Accra have already been deployed this afternoon on their way to the various locations. But the regional commanders will see them, maybe give them the appropriate locations of where exactly they are going to be deployed. So that's what I'll say for now. But we have been also having a lot of education on the air, asking people to responsible citizens. Because, you know, the social media now, a lot of business can be changed, and we have to get responsible citizens. Otherwise, once back and then the good thing that we've done all be turned overboard. So that's what we are doing now. Maybe if you ask questions, I'm able to tell you more. My colleagues here too also come in to assist.